In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As I mentioned some time ago, at the beginning of each week, I start to read the Bible for the following Sunday. And this week, after I read the Bible, I was contemplating what would be for the month of November. And it's amazing that I ran across an ad that says Providence Eng. Then I said, what is that? I continued reading, and it says, we are Providence Engineering, where we provide for your future housing and your future projects. Then I thought, thank you, God. You gave me a wonderful idea for this month, because today we celebrate God's providence for us, for giving us a house. Today we celebrate the 11th anniversary for building our church. And I thought that would be a wonderful way that we can talk during the month of November about God's providence. And as you know, from the very beginning, from day one, when God started to have his people Israel, he started to speak about building a house for himself. But of course, he did not accept a house from David, because David had blood on his hand. He shed too many blood. So he asked his son Solomon to build a house for him. And when Solomon built the house, God told him, anyone who will come to this house and ask and pray for anything, I will hear what he is asking for. And God assured that meaning in the New Testament when he found people are selling and buying in his temple, and he said, my house is the house of prayer. That means that's where I can hear all my people when and where they come and ask for anything. But when we speak about providence, there is so much under the title providence. It could be the compassion of the heart of God. It could be how he cares for us, how he teaches us, how can he take care of us. And today we have the first good example of God's providence, which is his compassion. We read the scripture from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. The great miracle about raising a young man from the dead. And this young man was the only son for a widow. Think about this for a minute, and you will find it very difficult for a widow. A widow doesn't have a husband, and her only son died. How would she live? Back in the days, it was not like now. They go for education, they have a diploma on their hand, and they can go out and find a job. It was not that easy to find any job back in the days. So imagine that she was crying from her heart. She was praying and asking for help. And please listen to what the scripture said. It said, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And what's nice here, he continues and says, and he presented him to his mother. Think about this about yourself. How would you feel if you are by yourself, alone, lonely, have no one on your side, no one to speak to, no one with you at home, and you feel you have so much problems and no one even is taking care of you or giving you support, even a word of comfort? Not to worry. I can take this good story for our spiritual need, that God will have compassion on you and he will resurrect whatever is dead in your life. That could be a job that you lost, that could be a friend, a father, or a mother that you lost in death, in illness, getting away from you for any reason. God will resurrect that someone and present him back to you, meaning God will give you back all what you lost. It is not lost forever. God will always be with you, because God's providence is so great and he will always have compassion on you. Think about this woman. She must have been praying so hard. So all what it takes, you pray. She must have been walking, talking to herself, what will I do? She must have been speaking to God, please help, give me a hand in this big loss. And God did. He himself came, and it says here, when the Lord saw her, he did see your need, and he always sees your need. Just present it to him, and he will present back to you all the answers. God's compassion not only for bringing you something that you lost, but also for healing. For example, we read in the book of Matthew in chapter 14, an interesting story here that says, when Jesus heard it, meaning the beheading of John the Baptist, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sickness. God healed all the sick who came to him. The difference between this one and the one before is God saw this woman and had compassion on her. This time they followed him. That means if you have a problem, you must go after the Lord. You must be persistent. You must go and ask for what you need. No matter what kind of hard time or trouble you are going through, trust that God will take care of you. It says again, he was moved with compassion for them. God's heart is so tender, and he will never ever see his children suffering unless they want to suffer and they want to stay away from him and they want to be by themselves. God cannot force himself on you. He respects your free will. As you heard in the book of Revelation when he said, I am standing at the door knocking. Knocking meaning he will never force himself in. You must open first so he can come in. Also, in the book of Matthew in chapter 20, the scripture tells us about the two blind men who were sitting at the road. And it says, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This time, all it takes, if you have a problem and you can't see the way, is that you cry out to him. Again, the scripture assures to us that God will always have compassion on us, and he will touch our eyes to see his way. Always God had compassion all the time. All what it takes this time is that you cry out, you pray, you ask, you plead with him that I need your help. And you must have that faith that God will do it. The difference between someone who can get healed in the body or in the spirit is the faith. If you believe, it will be done to you. If you do not believe, it will never be done. Also, we read in the book of Mark in chapter 1 about the leper who came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. In all of this that you read, every time it says God was moved with compassion. God is showing the love and the compassion that he had in his heart. Speaking about having compassion on us to have a church, think about those communities that do not have a church. Think about those who are praying in underground churches. And we have the freedom to worship and pray. That's such a great privilege that God is giving us. That's compassion from God for us. We must think about this and be grateful and be thankful. God, as it says in all of them, as you heard, he came and touched the coffin, touched the eyes, touched the person who is sick. So God will always, and He is always willing to come forward and touch you and open your eyes to get to see the truth. But the question is, sometimes we ask, why doesn't the Lord always answer our prayers for healing, for example? Is it because He doesn't care? Absolutely not. In the book of John, in chapter 15, verse 13, let me read something very important for you. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So the Lord Jesus has proven His love by giving His life for us, which requires more love than anything else. To give yourself up for someone is much more than helping someone or healing someone. You are dying for the one that you love. So God started already showing His great love. Sometimes we do not understand why we are sick and why someone is sick and he is not healed. And you may ask, why does the Lord Jesus have the ability to relieve some suffering and some He does not? Let me read something for you from the book of Matthew in chapter 9, verse 35, where it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He went everywhere and healing every sickness. In the book of Luke, in chapter 4, verse 40, it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them, and healed them. Then why does the Lord Jesus not always heal? Why sometimes and not some other times? Please listen carefully to this. Why does the Lord Jesus not always heal? First, we should understand that for those who trust in the Lord, the complete physical healing is always assured. Always we will get healed by the Lord. Every disease will be cured, every disability will be corrected, every weakness will be eliminated. But the only question is, when? So it is a matter of timing when God will do it. We must have the trust that God will do it. Sooner or later He will. Think about what St. Paul said in the first epistle of Corinthians chapter 15. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So after resurrection, you know that you will come whole. You might remember the story of Abuna Andraus Samuili. He was a blind man. He became blind at the age of 3 years old. And he kept his life serving God as a monk. And he was such a great monk and was a saint. The day he died, he appeared to Tamav Irini. And he told her, peace to you, Tamav Irini. Then she told him, the sound and the look are the looks and the sound of Abuna Andraus. But Abuna Andraus was blind, but you can see, you are opening your eyes. So I told her, so you want me to be blind on earth and also in heaven? That doesn't happen in heaven. All our disabilities, all our problems, our infirmities that we have here on earth will disappear. Sometime we want to see it disappearing right here on earth, but God may have a good reason for you. It may be for the glory of God. Let me give you a biblical proof so you will not feel Abuna is trying just to make us feel good about this. In the book of John in chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, it says, now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Lord Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So we may have this infirmity, we may have the problem, we may have the illness, a physical disability even. Think about what the reward will be in the future.
do not worry about what's happening now. Think about the reward, the glory of God. God is trying to glorify Himself in you. So take it with thanksgiving. Be thankful. It is a great gift to be thankful. And not to feel that you are by yourself and you are the only one in suffering and this will be weakness. Remember what happened with St. Paul. St. Paul himself had a problem. And look what he said in the second epistle of Corinthians in chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Let me read that last part one more time. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You think you are weak because of your infirmities, because of your problem. You are not. God's compassionate heart will give you strength. You are strong in the Lord. Be thankful and think about the other gifts that God has given you and trust that He will always be with you. He always on your side because you are His son, you are His daughter. Why would not a father or a mother help their children? Love of the father and mother will surpass any imagination. Any dad or mom is willing to give his own life for his children. The Lord has done that. The Lord has provided for us for our need today and tomorrow. He gave us the church. He gave us our parents. He gave us our health. We should be thankful to all what we have and trust that God will always take care of you. Let me conclude by this part from the book of Matthew in chapter 9. It says, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' then he said to the paralytic, 'Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' And he arose and departed to his house." So please, to conclude, do not focus on the issue of physical healing. We must focus on the issue of spiritual healing. We must get ready that we will meet the Lord one day, and He will ask us to give an account of all what we did. So are we ready to accept His compassionate heart and His healing power for our sins, or are we only more concerned about the healing of our physical shape and image? Keep your heart with God and lift up your heart in your prayer and trust in faith that He will take care of it, because God's providence is always there for you as long as we accept it, because He will never ever force Himself on us. And glory be to God now and forever. Amen.